Smash Away Coach Roddy Terry, the UTEP Miners coach, man. Good to see you again, man. How life been treating you, buddy?
Hey, JR, you know what? It's, you know, life's good, man. I tell my guys every day, man, it's a great day to be alive, man. And, you know, what we're enduring right now as a world, man, you got to be thankful for every single day and count your blessings, man.
You got that right, Coach. Let's ask you about going back to March, man. My birthday, March 11th, everything kind of went crazy, right? And everything was just like turning upside down. So how was it for your team and your staff and your seniors to deal with that, knowing that, hey, basketball ended just like that, you know, and you got to go back home and go learn from home now and not in that environment anymore? How are you going to staff handle that for your young men, especially your seniors as well, who had to move on without having the proper send-off?
Well, you know, JR, we both share something in common, man. You got a birthday in March. I got a birthday in March, man, as well, you know. And, no, you know what, our season, you know, we got a chance. Well, I think we were one of the last games actually to play in postseason play in college basketball. Our tournament, the night that the NBA shut down, you know, we played that last night as well. And, you know, prior to that, I remember going over on the bus and hearing about, you know, the test positives for, I believe it was the Jazz at that time.
Yeah, Rudy Gobert.
Yeah, they had tested positive, and there were going to be some ramifications, obviously, with the NBA with that. But we were on the way over to our contest that night. We played that night against Marshall, and the next day, literally, all of college basketball came to a standstill in terms of tournaments being canceled. Your season is abruptly over in terms of postseason play. There's no NCAA tournament, you know, and I felt really bad for teams that had great years. I mean, you look at what Anthony Grant did over at Dayton. He had an outstanding year, one of the best seasons Dayton's ever had, you know, and probably would have made unbelievable noise in the NCAA tournament as well. You know, you just feel for those kind of seasons where guys had great seasons. San Diego State had an unbelievable season, and you know, you think about those seniors, you know, last year in postseason, didn't get a chance to compete, you know, or even freshmen that were one and dones, you know, their college careers, they never got a chance to play in the NCAA tournament, you know. And so you feel for those student athletes that didn't get that opportunity because they're never going to get that back in their lives. It's going to be something that they're going to always look back on and never have that experience, you know. And I know for us, we had just finished. We lost in that first round of the conference tournament. And now our guys usually would have a chance to come back to campus and kind of finish out prior to maybe spring break or something like that if you're not in postseason play. Now they're dispersed and they're at home and with no thought of possibly when to return, you know. And as we well know, that went into the summer. You know, and obviously, you know, went into the first of the fall, a little bit in terms of virtual learning and just really trying to navigate through a very trying situation with COVID-19.
Coach, how was it for your young men going from virtual learning to being on campus? I know for me, Coach, I'm in person. I can't deal with just some computer to myself. I got to have that interaction live and in person, right? So how was it for your young men having to go home into their own environments again, learn from home, not having academic advisors, study halls you had on campus that were structured a certain way to help them? So how was that for your assistant coaches and your academic advisors to make sure your young men kept the GPAs up high at spring semester there?
Well, it was a huge adjustment for us, obviously, because guys have used to in-class interaction and also interaction with their tutors and study hall on campus at our academics center. You know, we've got a great academic support program here, so they also adapted very well as well in terms of being able to, you know, we've all adjusted to a new norm in terms of what we're doing right now in terms of Zoom. I had no idea what Zoom was when we first
started. Same here.
We had to quickly adapt to the technology piece, and our student athletes did that likewise. I thought our academic support program did that likewise, and really, I mean, they did a phenomenal job for us finishing up the spring, and were very equipped and well prepared for the fall. We had one of our best semesters, really, in terms of the virtual piece. I thought our guys really adapted and adjusted to it, but I think a lot of the credit went to our academic support program in terms of still, you know, being able to still have tutor situations with our guy via, you know, Zoom, you know, still have our mentor meetings, still have our academic meetings and things of that nature there. So they really still stayed locked and tuned in with our guys. And my academic liaison on our staff did a really, really great job coordinating everything as well. Bryce, he does a great job in working with our guys. And so, you know, through that collaboration and hard work, we had a really good semester and we adapted to it and we carried it over into the fall right now. It's not ideal because there are a lot of guys and student athletes that learn better being in the classroom and having that interaction, you know, and everything. And you do miss that experience. You come to college to explore and meet new people and make lifelong friends, you know, and so guys are really missing out on that aspect right now. But I think our academic support program did a great job. And, you know, our academic liaison with our staff here did a great job with our guys adapting and adjusting to what we have to do. And, you know, it's a challenge. It's not easy. You know what I mean? Because, you know, anytime you have that kind of disconnect where you don't have that interaction face to face and you could have lines of communication breakdowns. But we've been managing it day to day, you know, with our guys.
I hear that, man. I hear that, Coach. And also, man, using that Zoom to keep their minds sharp as well while they're at home. I know there's a lot going on around the country, especially in Atlanta, with the unrest racially and socially in the world and the pandemic. So I was using to keep their minds sharp and not lift up negativity, bringing them down, because they're young kids. So I'm in my 30s, and I'm used to it, but I'm a little older than they are. But they 18, 20 years old, they ain't lived enough life like I have to deal with it. And that's like, okay, this is life. So how'd you kind of make sure the young men understand this is life? And it's bad, but it's life, how it will go for you the rest of your life here.
Sure. No, it gave us a time. You know, we got a chance, obviously, as we adapted to the technology, to spend time with our guys away from us via Zoom. We tried to make a committed effort in terms staff-wise to be able to communicate with our guys at least twice a week, you know, and prior to them not being on campus. And the thing we really tried to do, we tried to have one of those meetings, you know, and no, you really can't, the attention span can't be longer than an hour. So you need to get in and get out, but your message needs to be really good in terms of what you're trying to convey to the guys. But we would try to have a day where we would talk about some of the things that were going on in our world right now, whether it was COVID-19 and the protocol that we needed to try to adapt and adjust to, whether it was social unjust. We had some very uncomfortable conversations as a team that needed to be had, and I thought they were really good for our teams in terms of just getting the chance to further understand each other. We have international players, we have African American players, we have white players, you know, so just getting a chance to interact and have those conversations and talk about, hey, what are you feeling? How are you feeling right now about all the things that are happening right now in our society? And then more importantly, you know, how can we be a part of change, you know, and how can we be activists, and how can you continue to encourage your guys to be activists in a positive way in terms of trying to make change? But I always think, as we got our guys even here to campus, I think in order to form change or be a part of change, I think you have to really understand your history. Sometimes we fully don't understand our history. And so we got back here and we watched a really good documentary. PBS had a really good documentary, we got a chance to see Reconstruction, and it went all the way back to the Civil War, and we went all the way through the whole deal in terms of why we have a lot of the social injustice or the systemic racism that we have right now. Where did all that come from? How did that all, arrive? You know, and really, again, how is it relevant to today? And I thought the TBS is a four-series deal on the Reconstruction, but I thought it did a nice job of really tying in, you know, the history to also Black Lives Matter and what's going on right now currently in our society right now as well. So great publication. If you ever get a chance to see that, it's really good. PBS did a good job with that. But our team watched that when we got back to campus. We didn't watch all 4 hours at one time. We watched one episode at a time, then we watched another episode at a time. We watched one a week. But I think, you know, again, and I've said it all along, I think, you know, you have to continue to educate young people about our history. And the more you know about our history, I think you're better equipped to deal with what we need to do to try to make change.
I think I'm lucky living in Atlanta. I get that blessing because I got John Lewis, Martin Luther King, all these people. The Civil Rights Club of the South is Atlanta. So I'm lucky. All that history that those you're learning about, I got to talk that from yay high to now. Being 33 years old, I was taught this my whole life. So I'm trying to use my show to talk about this more and more this year because I wanted to use my platform. I got 1.1 million listeners from Chattanooga to Macon. So I need to use this platform to educate my listeners about what my life is outside of the radio. You know what I'm saying? Once I'm leaving the arena, so I'm leaving the radio station, I'm just a black man in Atlanta, Georgia. You know, this is what I deal with when I'm off these airways, I'm out away from these games. So that process, Coach, has been hard for my listeners. Some of them are very uncomfortable, but Coach, I feel like it's some of them seeing the light that maybe I should think a little bit more about what JR goes through when he's not on the air entertaining us and giving us great interviews, that, hey, he has a different life than we do.
No, absolutely. I mean, you've got a great platform there, and obviously you have a duty to be able to continue to educate people about what's going on, not only from a professional standpoint, but also from a personal standpoint. I mean, we actually live, what we're talking about every single day, our experiences that we've had in the past, I think it's always great to share with young people and also help them continue to deal with, how am I going to navigate through society in terms of, what I may encounter and be equipped to be able to deal with any type of systemic, or for that matter, any kind of injustice that we have in society right now.
Now, Coach, how'd you go about keeping your young men healthy when they got back to campus? Because kind of ramped them back up. You only have a nagging groin, quad, hamstring, knee, ankle. So how'd you kind of modulate that ramp up so they wouldn't go too hard, too fast, and not have something that you have nagging all year long?
Oh, no, JR, you're absolutely right. I mean, for us, when we did finally get our guys back in a normal year, we would have had our guys back, 1st of July. They would have been back in training and, strength and conditioning, doing some basketball activity as well. But you got to look at it, the format for a lot of us this year in college basketball, our guys for 5 months didn't get a chance to do anything. They didn't have access to gyms in a lot of places. They had access to places to get out and continue the basketball activity, And I strongly encourage my guys to really, buckle down from an academic standpoint to do really good academically, we have plenty of time to get ourselves back in shape and back acclimated to basketball, which we did. When we got our guys back here, I thought it was very important that we just didn't throw them right in the fire and start trying to do a lot of, up and down and this and that. I was very, very conscious about, hey, let's get these guys in there. Let's get them back into just getting used to, first of all, basketball movement. And then also getting in and working on their bodies first. Let's get some agility work done first. Okay, get them, used to moving again. They haven't moved in 5 months. The worst thing you can do is go out and put a youngster out there in a position where now he has an opportunity to possibly injure himself, tear an ACL, you do something. And when he's not ready for that movement, and stuff. His mind may say he is, but his body's not physically ready for that because he hasn't been doing that. So we really tried to ease into it in terms of, our strength and conditioning, our agility, just basic basketball movement before we didn't do contact for probably a month, and stuff because I didn't want any of the contact. I wanted guys to just get used to moving and just basketball activities again.
Now, Coach, for us putting stuff in, how that go, limited practice time and, up and down, we'll kind of keep that guys not getting COVID. So how was it trying to put in your offense defense and not overload them too much too fast as well on that end, knowing you didn't have them to be able to use them to maybe say, hey, we're going to do it this way, cover screen this way, So how was that for you guys as well?
Well, we had a few new guys that we needed to get acclimated to how we're doing things from a basketball standpoint, academic standpoint, and just getting them acclimated in general to our program and things of that nature there. But I thought again we really tried to start with skill development first, okay, and then we started trying to implement things 5-on-5, whether it was something offensively, whether it was something defensively, we tried to do that. But, we really, JR, we end up having more time than you really thought, as the season got pushed back, we had a lot of time to get our guys acclimated to things that we wanted to do from a system standpoint and things of that nature there. And, I think we had about 17 weeks prior to our first ball game, in a normal year, you don't have that length of time where you're just practice, practice, practice. I think after a while, our guys were ready to just see anybody in a different jersey and then have an opportunity to have some type of outside competition, outside of your team. So You know, we got a chance to really, you know, implement a lot of things and put things in and really try to work in and early in the year to try to get better with details of what you were trying to do.
How's the games been for you so far? I just got to get guys acclimated to your system, playing a real game for you. So how's that been as you guys play these games here, not knowing you're going to play some nights, could be canceled, postponed. So keeping the guys sharp and flexible as well. How's that been as you're getting ready to play these games here as you try to get something in before you get in the conference and play here real soon?
I think my staff and myself and even my training staff's done a great job. We're really trying to educate our guys, you know, the importance of, and we even said it back prior to coming to campus, it's going to be a year unlike any year being a student athlete where you're going to have to be extremely disciplined in terms of following the protocol, in terms of wearing your mask, social distance, keeping your hands clean, really kind of just standing in the bubble with just your teammates, you know, and things of that nature there. Or if you put yourself in a position, you knew the consequences of high risk activities. You know, it's not a year where we're gonna, you know, be able to move around campus or try to go to parties and things of that nature. You're not gonna be able to do that. But we've had really good testing protocol here. You know, as we've gotten into the season, you know, we're testing 3 times a week. But prior to that, we were testing 1 time a week. You know, and I say kudos to my guys in terms of, you know, not complaining. I mean, we often have to get up early at 7 a.m. to get our testing done for the day to be able to get our results back before we start practice that day to make sure that we're keeping everybody safe and in good standing in that regards and stuff. So they've done a great job of adapting and adjusting to that aspect of it. But, you know, in normal year, you would have played, you know, an exhibition game, a controlled scrimmage, and then you have a regular game, you know. But this year, you know, you didn't have the luxury of doing that. You had to go, you know, right into a regular game. And for a lot of us, you know, we're still kind of playing our way into the season right now. You know, we've had a chance to play 3 games right now. And, you know, in a normal year, you would have already played about 6-7 ball games to this point right now. So you're still, you know, getting a feel for your team. You're still getting chemistry. And you're still trying to keep your guys healthy as well and everything, you know. And from a scheduling standpoint, you know, you really had to try to look at, you know, trying to stay regional, you know what I mean? And I know we have. I mean, we've got a lot of great programs in our region, whether it's Arizona, Arizona State, Texas Tech, New Mexico State, New Mexico, you know. So we've really tried to narrow it down and say, man, if we can just stay in our region and play against regional competition without having to have commercial airfare and coming in or exposing ourselves to situations, then, you know, we want to be able to be on a direct flight or possibly just, you know, on a bus ride, you know, just to keep our guys safe and healthy and try to have an opportunity to get to games.
Your conferences are so expansive, you know. It's like from Texas up to Virginia and down to Florida, man. So, like, you guys have you really call yourself for real because you all spread the country. I know you got to play the back-to-backs on the road and home. So how are you going to try to play for those with your guys, making sure you get the good scouts and good preparation for those teams? But at the same time, you can't really adjust that second night the way you want to have the guys have some rest and recovery out there first night of play there.
No, I think you're spot on in that. And, JR, you know, we're Conference USA for a reason. We span the whole country in terms of our league, you know, and with us being, you know, probably one of the farthest places to get to and to get to different places as well and everything in our conference. But I thought our conference did a great job, just like a lot of conferences around the country, adapting to what we're actually trying to play through a pandemic. In terms of trying to keep our student athletes safe and what's going to be the best opportunity for them to be able to do that. And they arrived at saying, hey, you know what, if we're able to keep a team in a location for 2 straight games, we're more inclined probably to get those games in, you know, because, you know, you're going to have testing protocol prior to leaving campus. And once you leave, that group, you know, has left and they've hopefully tested negative and you got everybody in that party. So if you keep everybody in that bubble for that weekend playing games, then you're more than likely going to be able to get those games in as opposed to coming back to campus, you know, and playing a different team, coming from somewhere else and everything. So it's really a smart decision to try to do that to try to have a conference season and everything. So, you know, again, I think with the mindset, we're working with young people that are, you know, sometimes 17, 18, 19, all the way up to 22, 23 years old. You know, you feel like, and I always, you know, kid our guys all the time about, man, you guys should be able to run every day, you know what I mean, and everything. So, you know, You have to condition yourself, and I think it's a mindset in terms of saying, hey, you know what, you know, we're playing back-to-back, and we've got to want to be the best back-to-back playing team in the country in terms of what we do, and never look at it as a crutch or an excuse.
That's what I got for you, Coach, is what's been your quarantine hobby? Mine has been playing the guitar. So what's been your hobby doing the quarantine, man? I'm trying to be like Bob Dylan, man. I'm trying to be like Bob Marley, man. I'm trying to do something good. Tell me, what's your hobby been, Coach?
Man, I tell you what, you know, I haven't really had a per se a hobby, but I did embark on buying a second home, and that's taken, and I've kind of taken on the challenge in that second home to do a lot of construction, and I haven't really embarked on that in terms of when you try to go in somewhere and you have a lot of demolition and things of that nature there, and you're working with some independent contractors and things of that nature there, so it's been a handful right there and stuff, and a very educational experience along the way and stuff. But that's kind of what I've done. I haven't been hands on myself in terms of the handiwork part of it, but I've kind of helped manage that, and I've had other people help me try to manage that as well. So that's taken a lot of time, to be honest with you.
Coach, hey, I need to do some work around his house here, but, man, I just don't want to do it, man. I'm going to get on my guitar, go shoot hoops in my backyard, and walk around the neighborhood. I haven't quite developed the handyman skill yet. I always pay somebody to do it for me.
But you know, JR, a lot of people did pick up, you know. You would be amazed, you know, when you talk about essential travel and just really trying to just go to the grocery store and cut down on where you needed to go. The places that were really packed, you go to a Lowe's, you go to a Home Depot, well, the places are jam-packed because you got everybody working on home projects, you know what
yes.
I mean? Let's get some things done right now while we can. We're at home, so, you know, that was very surprising as we you know, embarked on this COVID situation. Man, you go to Lowe's and you think you're not going to be packed. Lowe's is packed as Walmart, you know what I mean?
You got so. There, right? Hey, you know, when am I one every by my house? I got a Lowe's, I got a Walmart, the same plaza, but you know, they always packed, both of them, just packed to the rim. I'm like, man, y'all jokers really building stuff out here.
That's right.
Hey, Coach, thank you for your time as always, man. Good to see you, man. Hope to see you soon, man. If you're Western or UAB or Middle, let me know, man. I'll try to come up and see you guys, man.
Absolutely, JR. Thanks for having me, man. And again, man, try to stay safe, man. We're in a trying time with COVID and the pandemic, man, but this too shall pass, man. So stay strong in your faith, man, and continue to push forward, buddy.
Anytime, Coach, you would do the same, brother. Talk to you real soon now.
Okay, Joe.